Welcome to Interpreter Insights. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Today's topic is the Interpreter Foundation's video web series hosted by Dan Peterson, Becoming Brigham. The Interpreter Foundation supports the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints by making the latest and best scholarship available to you. Please check out everything Interpreter has to offer at interpreterfoundation.org. And please tell your friends about this podcast, Interpreter Insights, and kindly consider giving me a 5-star rating. To learn more about who Brigham Young really was, you should, if you haven't already, watched every single one of the Interpreter's new video web series, Becoming Brigham Young. Each one debunks misconceptions about Brigham Young with facts. You can learn about who Brigham Young really was. Historically, Brigham Young stands out as one of the most polarizing figures in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For whatever reason, Brigham Young is the most misunderstood and maligned president in the history of the church. Negative comments are almost always based on inaccurate information, whether they come from inside or outside the church. But these days, by and large, the biggest place where you're going to find negative comments happen to be on the internet. Becoming Brigham dispels these kinds of inaccurate comments about Brigham Young. The whole idea of the Interpreter's new series, Becoming Brigham, is to really give fact-based information about Brigham Young, to debunk misconceptions and counter stereotypes, and provide a genuinely accurate portrait of Brigham Young. Produced under the direction of Dan Peterson, the Becoming Brigham web series addresses difficult questions, untrue facts, misconceptions, and misunderstandings. Becoming Brigham is not a historical whitewash or some kind of Brigham Young hero worship. Instead, it contextualizes Brigham's life and character through interviews and commentary with genuine experts and historians and on location footage to give you a more complete, more understandable, and more human picture of Brigham Young, his teachings, and his ministry. This docu-series, if you will, Becoming Brigham, is something that gives you great insight from some genuine historians and scholars. Some of the examples of what you can find in Becoming Brigham are Dan Peterson, the host, a genuine scholar, of course, in his own right about Brigham Young, flatly dispels the modern idea that Brigham Young was just an authoritarian caricature. He highlights Brigham Young's deep devotion to building Zion. Dan Peterson talks about his loyalty to Joseph Smith and notes that while Brigham Young had some 19th century blind spots about race with a 20/20 hindsight, a closer look at history shows Brigham Young to be a leader who looks much better than modern stereotypes suggest. Another historian that you will see on the Becoming Brigham series is John Turner, a biographer and non-Latter-day Saint historian, who points out that many of Brigham Young's harder edges and rigid leadership styles actually developed later in life as a direct and protective reaction to the trauma and chaos that happened to Brigham Young and church members whom he was trying to protect following the murder of Joseph Smith. Ron Esplin, a delightful person whom I consider to be a friend and genuine LDS historian, explains that among all the potential leaders who claimed succession after Joseph Smith's martyrdom, Brigham Young and the Quorum of the Twelve were uniquely committed to fully carrying out Joseph Smith's specific and complex vision for the future of the church, including completing the Nauvoo Temple and moving the Latter-day Saints to the Great Basin area. Another marvelous historian in the Becoming Brigham series is Susan Easton Black. She provides some wonderful context on Brigham Young's early years, describing his strict upbringing, his intense search for religious truth, and his innate love of beauty, of art and music, which are often contrasted with the stereotype of his later life, sometimes seen as stern and unyielding. One of the more new and informative points of view about Brigham Young come from scholar and shorthand expert, and I should say 19th century shorthand expert, because there are probably a handful of those in the world. Lejean Carruth has transcribed the original shorthand records of Brigham Young's sermons, revealing that his actual spoken words were often softer, much more nuanced, and less harsh than the edited, officially published versions in the Journal of Discourses and other places that contributed to Brigham's reputation as kind of a severe leader sometimes, or harsh. It's fascinating that, in addition to what the shorthand reveals, those who have carefully read Brigham Young's discourses find that he often used hyperbole, humor, and occasionally sarcasm, coupled with humor, which easily came across to his listeners, who sometimes laughed during his presentations to his jokes and hyperbole. But these are almost always lost on those who just read on a written page what Brigham Young had to say. This has led to extreme misunderstandings by readers about what Brigham Young really meant and what he really said in his sermons. Misunderstandings of Brigham's life and leadership stem from sensationalist anti-Latter-day Saint exposés of his era and in modern times, and also some well-meaning but inaccurate folklore from in the greater Latter-day Saint community. Some of the examples of the subject matters that you will hear discussed on Becoming Brigham include how culpable or not culpable was Brigham Young in connection with the Mountain Meadows Massacre. One of the historical misunderstandings about Brigham Young was that, as inaccurately reported over and over ad infinitum on the internet, Brigham Young did not order the 1844 Mountain Meadows Massacre. Almost always, if you look at an ex-Mormons or anti-Mormon site, you will see statements that Brigham Young ordered the Mountain Meadows Massacre, which indeed is not true. The context of what really happened there is that Brigham Young actually sent a written message, but it arrived too late, explicitly instructing the local leaders to let the immigrant train pass in peace. Another myth that is debunked in Becoming Brigham is the characterization of Brigham Young as some kind of a totalitarian dictator. The reality is that while Brigham Young had immense religious and political influence. If you, for example, read the letters to his children, his notes and other dialogue from his everyday life to his colleagues, you will see much more of a kind, understanding family man who was very complex in his views and ideas as president and politician. He frequently negotiated with church leaders. He handled intense internal dissent inside and outside the church. He dealt with local politics, operated within the constraints of federal territorial oversight. And through all this, his style was highly pragmatic and really with the idea of being communal and working through difficulties rather than being strictly autocratic or becoming involved in some kind of direct conflict, as his stereotypes would have you believe. Groundbreaking shorthand transcriptions by Lejean Carruth, as I mentioned above, tell you that the nature of what Brigham Young was trying to do was to enlighten and often to entertain as well in his presentations. Another fascinating thing that you will learn about Brigham Young and becoming Brigham is that many of the religious doctrines and beliefs that he presented to the saints were from visions of the afterlife that he had, where he actually had conversations with Joseph Smith. Another and final area that I'm going to mention today about becoming Brigham and the areas where he is greatly misunderstood that are debunked is the nature of his polygamous marriages. These are portrayed in the media back then and now as some kind of womanizing conquest by someone who accumulated wives for personal gratification or something very, very close to that. The reality is that Brigham Young and his practice of plural marriage was deeply rooted in his theological conviction that the restored Church of Jesus Christ had indeed restored many things and would eventually restore all things, and that plural marriage was a part of that, as practiced by the ancient patriarchs in the Bible. There were also more pragmatic reasons and more kind and loving reasons for his practice of plural marriage. He, in a temporal way, genuinely helped many of those in need. Most of his 55 plural marriages were not conjugal, and indeed, in part, were to provide that kind of financial security that I alluded to for widows, including some of the widows of Joseph Smith. Many of his plural wives included Emmeline B. Wells and Susie Young Gates, who were prominent, highly educated writers, who were suffragettes and political activists, and who actively defended the practice of plural marriage. They were hardly the kind who could have been browbeaten into submission or were used for some other inappropriate purpose. To sum things up, if you want to hear a direct but wonderful and kind and sympathetic but accurate depiction of Brigham Young. You should take a look at every single one of the Becoming Brigham videos. They are absolutely fabulous. Join me again next time on Interpreter Insights. I'm Martin Tanner, your host.